Father, we pray this morning that as we now gather around your word, that your word would, and again, by your spirit and through your word, you might be at work in our hearts, that you might cause us this morning, Father, to grow deeper in knowing the sweetness of knowing Christ, that we would grow deeper in the joy of serving Christ, that we would grow deeper also in our desire to bring glory to Christ. And we pray all of these things in Christ's name, amen. If I was to poll the congregation this morning regarding the greatest figure, with the exception we'll put our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the side, besides him, if I was to poll the congregation on the greatest figure in Scripture, it would be rather an interesting poll, I think. But allow me to predict what some of the results coming back to me might show. I expect that some of you might point to perhaps Abraham. Perhaps some of you, I'm almost certainly some of you would point to Moses. Perhaps some would point to David or maybe even Daniel, as I thought about this. I'm not sure. But certainly, certainly, near the top of many lists would be the Apostle Paul. But my real question and my real point this morning, my real question actually, leading to a point this morning, my real question by way of introduction this morning is a simple question of why. Why would that be? What makes the Apostle Paul such a towering figure within Scripture? What is it about him that we would desire and do desire to emulate? What is it about him that we could attribute to the great and amazing ministry that he had? Let me offer up some possibilities. Was it his great evangelistic fervor? And when I consider that, my mind goes to the words at the beginning of Romans chapter 9, verse 3, where Paul says there, regarding his fellow Israelites, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh." Was it that evangelistic fervor beyond anything that I could ever imagine? Was it that? Was it his amazing intellect as he was schooled and learned at the feet of Gamaliel? Was it his courage and determination in the face of immense opposition? Paul records for us in 2 Corinthians 11, for example. We'll just read a small portion there. "From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep." And he goes on and on further from there, recounting all of the opposition, all of the difficulties that he faced. Was it that courage and determination in the face of all of that that made him such a towering figure and that made his ministry so amazing? To what do we attribute Paul's greatness and the greatness of his ministry? Well, the answer to that comes in our text this morning. And the answer to that is as follows. First of all, let me deal with what I just said. And those possibilities, the answer comes none of the above. None of the above. And that there is indeed one reason and one reason only. And Paul gives us that reason today in our text this morning. In fact, in the broader text that we will continue on to consider next week of verses 12 through 17, he actually says it twice in here. And it's kind of a theme binding this part of the text together and these 2 weeks together. And here we go. Here's what he says. But I obtained mercy. This is what we're going to be considering today. This is what we're going to see today and unpack today from our text. It's a very simple lesson. A very simple point. But it's an important one. And also, and I hope this comes across even just a little bit this morning, as I not only consider this text and consider this thinking this week, but even in past days and months and even years, this has been something that's very personal to me, and I hope in some way, some little bit, it comes through that way this morning. And here it is, that Paul's whole understanding of ministry, and I for myself, and this morning I wish for you as well, that our whole understanding of ministry be one of seeing that as a gracious gift from God. That ministry is a gracious gift from God. Paul's view of ministry is given here in our text this morning in verses 12 through 14 as we begin to launch into it. And in verse 12 this morning, he begins by explaining that he is thankful. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul says that he is thankful. And he says he is thankful for what? For three things this morning in verse 12 to begin with. For three things all regarding ministry. Number one, he is thankful that Christ has enabled him. Or depending upon your version, Christ has strengthened him. And strengthened him and enabled him for ministry. This is the same word, strengthen, that you may recall, same word in the original, from a verse that you may be familiar to, it's a favorite verse I know of many people, as Paul mentions this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. I knew you knew it. Through Christ who strengthened me. Same word. And my point in both of these texts is as follows. In Philippians, Paul's confidence is in what? It's in that Christ has strengthened him. But in our text this morning in 1 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 12 specifically, that same truth that it is Christ who has strengthened him for ministry is a source and a push and a motivator for Paul for thanksgiving, in addition to the confidence, for thanksgiving. Paul is thankful that it is Christ who has strengthened him, who has enabled him for ministry. In other words, all that Paul brings into his ministry, and you know where I'm going with this eventually, don't you? Thank you. All that you bring into your ministry. But now, continuing with Paul, all that he brings into ministry and into his ministry, the evangelistic fervor that we spoke of earlier, the towering intellect that Paul possessed, his courage and determination, even in the face of opposition, all those things that we spoke of a moment or two earlier, all of those things and much more were given to him, were graciously given to Paul for what? For ministry. He enabled me. He strengthened me, Paul says. He enabled me, Paul says. He strengthened me, Paul says, for ministry. And he did so how? By his mercy. There's number one that Paul is thankful for. Paul is thankful that Christ enabled him for ministry. But secondly, and still in verse 12, Who enabled me? I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Who has enabled me? Because, number two, he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. He counted me faithful. Paul recognizes that in enabling him, in strengthening him, it was because Christ counted him faithful or trustworthy. Now, I quickly add that word trustworthy because of what I'm going to lead into now. And the way we ought not to understand what Paul says there when he says, he enabled me, or who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful. The way we ought not to understand what Paul is saying there is as follows. We ought not to understand that Paul is saying, I earned this enabling. I earned everything that came to me in ministry. This towering intellect of mine, this evangelistic fervor, this great strength and courage in the face of opposition. All those God gave to me, yes, but he gave them to me because of how faithful and trustworthy I am. No, 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 that's not what Paul is saying here. That's not what he's saying. Remember what we just said a moment ago, that Paul's point and our point in that first point of the time together this morning was Paul was thankful for that enabling, and he was thankful because he recognized it as a gift. A gracious gift, not something that he earned. So what is Paul saying here in this point that because he counted me faithful? Well, I think we ought to recognize here that there's a little bit of a play on words taking place, both in the original, and we can make it come through very much in our English Bibles as well. And that is rather with one little substitution that may be in some of your English versions. It's not in my New King James, and I don't believe it's in the ESV. But verse 12, to help bring out this play on words, instead of saying, because he counted me faithful, let's instead translate this, and this would be a very good translation, because he counted me trustworthy. Trustworthy. Now, it may still say that Paul is saying, I earned that by my trustworthiness, but I don't think he is. I think he's introducing a little play on words there on what he said at the very end of last week's message, at the very end of verse 11. Go back there. And this does come through in my New King James. It does come through in the ESV, I believe, as well, as I recall. He speaks there according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, this glorious gospel, which was committed to my trust. And now, one verse down, he's expressing how trustworthy, because of his trustworthiness, Christ has enabled him for ministry. So rather than saying, I earned that by my faithfulness, by my trustworthiness, I think what he's saying here is that he was entrusted with the gospel in verse 11, clearly. And in verse 12, he is again emphasizing that by saying he counted me trustworthy. The point here is not Paul's deserving of this because he was faithful, because he was trustworthy, but rather the point is, even in this phrase in verse 12, that the gospel and Paul's gospel ministry and our gospel ministry is something that has been graciously entrusted to us by God, by Christ. It is something entrusted to us, committed to us, as he says in verse 11, as a trust, as a stewardship to which we need to be faithful. The emphasis here is that the announcement, the heralding forth to which we also are called of the good news of the gospel of salvation in Christ, the heralding forth, the announcement of the treasure hidden in a field, the announcement of the pearl of great price, that ministry of announcing, of heralding forth the gospel is something that was graciously entrusted to Paul and is graciously entrusted to you and I, and to which we say, how marvelous is that, and how thankful we are along with Paul for that. Number three, hastening on, Paul is thankful not only because Christ enabled him for ministry, that he entrusted him with the gospel as a stewardship, as committing it to his trust, but at the end of the verse 12, he speaks of putting me into the ministry or appointing me to ministry. Paul is thankful for this as well. To what is he referring there? He's referring to you biblical scholars, New Testament scholars. Paul is referring to here that Damascus Road experience that he had, where Paul in Acts chapter 9 is on the road to Damascus, where there along that road, Paul is confronted by, Paul is commissioned by the risen Christ. Paul is appointed to ministry, as we consider here back in 1 Timothy, by the risen Christ. There is a commissioning, an appointing that takes place there, such that later on in Acts chapter 9, where the Lord is now, Paul is now blinded, and the Lord is speaking to another servant, Ananias, who will pray over Paul and see this blindness lifted from him. And as the Lord speaks to Ananias, he speaks of Paul, and he says of Paul the following, the Lord does, he, Paul, is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name. For what? To bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Paul was appointed by Christ to ministry. He was a chosen vessel of Christ, the risen Christ. And for that, clearly and obviously and appropriately, he is most thankful. So Paul was enabled for ministry by Christ. Paul was entrusted with ministry by Christ. Paul was appointed to ministry by Christ. But what made Paul especially thankful was when he considered where he came from to arrive at that point. And for this, we move to verses 13 and 14 this morning. That all that we've talked about in verse 12 is true despite Paul's former life, which he describes in verse 13. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. And you see later on in the text for next week, as Deanna read it earlier, that he also identifies himself as chief among sinners. But for now, this week in verse 13, he says, formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. Perhaps the easiest of those for us to understand quickly is the middle one, that he was a persecutor. For once again, we consider that traveling on the Damascus Road and that encounter and that appointing and that entrusting that took place on the Damascus Road. For what was Paul doing on that road going to Damascus? He was, as it says in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, as he's heading off there, he was seeking any who were on the way, were of the way. The way there in a capital W in my English Bible, designating this means we're followers of Christ, we're Christians. Any who are of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He was going about arresting Christians. And instead, as Paul is on the road to Damascus with the intent of arresting Christians, if you'll allow me this play on words, what happened? Christ arrested him. Christ stopped him in his tracks. And indeed, as he does so, in recognition of what Paul was all about, what are the words of Christ, the risen Christ, to Paul on that Damascus road? It is, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? Sorry, the old King James comes out of me at times that I grew up with. Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting Christians? No. This is what I would have you note there. Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And as we understand that, as we see that, we come to understand why Paul also lists himself as a blasphemer and an insolent man. Because by persecuting the church, he was persecuting the body of Christ. He was persecuting Christ. And therefore, not only a persecutor, but also a blasphemer and an insolent man. And now, folks, the point. We arrive at the point. I've already told you what the point is, but thank you for staying with me nonetheless. And we come back to it now. And I introduce it by way of a question. How do we explain all this? How do we explain all this? How is it? How can it be that a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man comes to be, that same one comes to be one who was enabled by Christ, entrusted with the gospel by Christ, and appointed and commissioned by Christ for ministry? How do we move? How did Paul move from here to here? How is that even possible? Well, now we continue on in verse 13. And once again, Paul gives the answer. He will say this again next week, but Paul gives the answer right now in verse 13. But I obtained mercy. But I obtained mercy. Paul says, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Don't take that wrong. Don't understand that wrong. Paul's not excusing himself there. Paul's not excusing himself. Paul is saying, the only way this could happen, the only possible way, I stand in amazement at what Christ has done. Because the only way that this could happen, that I could move from here to here, because I obtained mercy, he says. How do we explain this? Paul says there's only one answer, and it has nothing to do with him, he says. Rather, it is all God's mercy. It is all God's grace. Even as he continues on in verse 14, and the grace, not only mercy, but the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Now, there's the point, but I want to make sure you're getting it here. And I'm going to ask another question. What is Paul referring to here when he talks about this mercy, when he talks about this grace in his life? Is he talking here, is he referring to his salvation, about being brought from that sinner to being a child of God, a child of the King? Well, certainly, absolutely, yes, yes, and yes. He is referring to that. That all of that, all of our salvation from beginning to end is a gracious work of God. Hear me once again. That all of our salvation from beginning to end is a gracious and sovereign work of God. And we praise God for that. And Paul praises God for that. But there's more than that here. There's more than that here in what Paul is saying. And consider the context once again with me. And see that here this morning, while all of that that I just said is true, marvelously true, Paul here is talking specifically about ministry this morning. About Christ enabling him for ministry. About Christ entrusting him to ministry and with that ministry. About Christ appointing and commissioning him for that ministry. Paul's talking about ministry here. Paul's talking about ministry here when he says, this ministry, especially given this, it's all of mercy. It's all of God's grace. That Paul's whole understanding of ministry was that it was a gracious gift from God. Amen indeed. Now, you may already be guessing. In fact, I've shown my cards more than I'd intended here. And even without that, you're probably guessing where I'm going with this. And thus, before we go there, let me just pause, as I like to do at times, and address some objections that might be popping up in your mind right now, objections that you are far too polite to vocalize, so I will do it for you this morning. You might be thinking in your heart and in your mind, well, that's fine, Craig. That's fine, I get that. But that's the Apostle Paul, not me. Well, yes, first of all, that is where I'm going. You're right. I'm coming at you and me. Yes, that's where I'm going with this. And yes, this is the Apostle Paul, and it's not you in that sense. And yes, his ministry is the ministry of an apostle, which is not your ministry. It's not my ministry. We don't have apostles today. But nevertheless, I'm still going to go there. And here we go. Not only Paul, but you and I also. Not only Paul, but you and I also. But we obtained mercy. We too obtained mercy in that we also, whether we were a persecutor, a blasphemer, and an insolent man, we were at enmity with God, whatever we were enemies of God and running far from him. But we too obtained mercy, such that we too have been enabled and strengthened for ministry. We too have been entrusted with ministry. We too have been appointed and commissioned for ministry. We too, all in different ways, certainly different ways than the Apostle Paul was appointed, a different ministry to which he was appointed, certainly different, but nonetheless, we too have been entrusted with the gospel. We too have been enabled and strengthened. We too have been appointed and commissioned. We too, to that end, have obtained mercy. And therefore, and in conclusion, not only Paul's ministry, but let's close in this way, and our ministry as well. It's obvious, isn't it? As I said a couple times, you knew where I was going with this, and here we are. It's obvious. Paul gives us his view of his ministry here in the text this morning, but it is also something that comes not only to him by grace and mercy, causing him to be overjoyed and thankful, but we need to ask ourselves, I need to ask myself as well, what about me? I mentioned a few times already in the first, whatever it's been, 5 weeks or so of our studies in 1 Timothy, of this new series in 1 Timothy. I've mentioned a few times what my motivation was in turning to 1 Timothy for this series. And Peter wonderfully in his announcements tied a few things together to make sure you folks are seeing this as well. We're not too subtle here. We want to make sure you know where we're trying to go. And that is, what's my motivation here? What's our motivation for CFBC 101, that class coming up? What's our motivation for all these things, for the book of the month, as Peter introduced it? Our motivation is that we want you to, and we want ourselves to understand in deeper ways, what is the church? What is the church? And as I've entitled this whole series, what is life in the household of God all about? What is this life together that we are living together? What it's all about? What is it all about? And so this morning, have we learned anything more about the church? Well, yes, we would have. Yes, we have, I would suggest. I would suggest we've seen this morning, that the church is a group of sinners saved by God's grace. We know that. We understand that. But that's important. But beyond that, a group of sinners saved by God's grace who revel in that grace, and particularly this morning, joyfully revel in the unfathomable privilege of being the servants of the King. Of course, it's possible not to view ministry in that way, not to view ministry in that light. It's possible instead to view ministry not as a privilege, but as an obligation. Perhaps that's the way some view ministry. Perhaps some view ministry as doing my part. Perhaps some view ministry as something that they've got to take a little while and figure out, can I fit it into my schedule? How will this work? And I'm not belittling that. Of course, there are practical matters. Perhaps some view ministry as something that they evaluate pros and cons, and this would be good and this wouldn't be good. Or worst of all, perhaps some view ministry as trying to pay God back or to make ourselves somehow worthy, ironically and ridiculously worthy of God's grace. There's an oxymoron for you. Perhaps that's the way some of us view ministry. Or do we see it this morning as that gracious gift of God? There are so many wonderful examples, as I draw to a close here, that God in his grace and mercy and loving providence, wonderful examples that God has brought into my life in recent days and in distant past days. Wonderful examples. In more recent days, and I hate to pick out individuals here, obviously I won't name anyone, but I've heard people say, even singers at the front, that they consider it a privilege, an incredible privilege to stand here on the platform and sing God's praises week by week and lead us in that way. I hear of Sunday school teachers and other ministry workers right here at Fellowship Baptist expressing similar things and their understanding of exactly what we're talking about this morning, that ministry is a gracious gift from God. And even more in the distant past, I recall an individual from when I was about, I don't know how old I was, 10, 11 years old, something like that. Orville Cochran, dear Orville Cochran, back at Westside Baptist in Hamilton on that New Year's Eve service. I don't remember anything about the evening. I don't remember actually anything else about Orville Cochran, to be honest. I remember nothing else. I was a young lad at this point. But I remember on that New Year's Eve service, there was a microphone at the front and they offered up a time of testimony where people could speak to God's faithfulness over the past year. And that 70 or 80-year-old, whatever he was, maybe just appeared that way to me when I was young. But that one went racing to the front as soon as the opportunity came. And his opening words, this is over 50 years ago now, but I still remember. His opening words were something like, I cannot resist any opportunity to stand up and give praise to my God for his grace and mercy towards me. And that stuck with me for 50 years. I think of Sunday school teachers who serve faithfully for me, to me, and proclaim the gospel to me 50 years ago that resulted in me coming to faith in Christ. Individuals near past and distant past who understand that ministry is a gracious gift from God. People who understand and are joyfully reveling in that unspeakable privilege of being servants of the King. I said at the beginning that this is somewhat of a personal reflection as well this morning, a simple one, an important one, I believe, and a personal one. For myself as well, I recall, and I did have to look up the date. I knew it was around this, but it was July 8th, 2018. July 8th, 2018, and I was seated right there. Because on that weekend, I was preaching for a call at Fellowship Baptist Church, 6 and coming up 7 years ago. And I was sitting there, and it was just before us to come forward and preach. Carmen was up here leading us in appropriately, as we reflect on it now, and as I reflect on it, marvelous grace of our loving Lord. And I recall very distinctly, and this is surprising, that I was sitting there or standing there probably as we were singing, and I wasn't feeling at all nervous about what was about to take place. Rather, and here's my point, I was thinking, really, God? Me? And since then, I've thought that very same thought so often. Really, God? Me? And also, along that same way, as I've been reflecting that way, the evil one comes alongside very often and says, who do you think you are? And to that, at least in my better moments, I reply in this way, yes, indeed, who am I? But I obtained mercy. It's all of God's grace. If you this morning think that this message is about recruiting Sunday school workers, you couldn't be more wrong. That's God's business. He's got that figured out. Or recruiting youth workers, or recruiting this or that. No, you're missing the point entirely. God will take care of that. I'm not worried about that. Here's the point as we conclude. That you would ever be saying alongside of Paul, and saying this as we labor together in whatever way, whatever form, in gospel ministry, that we also would be saying, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. Although I was formerly at enmity with God, but I obtained mercy, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. That we would be people joyfully reveling in the unspeakable, unfathomable privilege of being servants of the King. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege is ours. What a joy is ours that we are indeed servants of the King. And Father, my prayer for myself and my brothers and sisters this morning is that we would not only faithfully exercise that stewardship, but that we would also, especially this morning, Father, as we consider what Paul says, that we would thankfully and joyfully exercise that stewardship, that privilege of being servants of the King. And we pray this in Christ's name, amen.